Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
That's gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everyone, to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you again this week. We got a lot happening this hour of the Sports Report. We'll be talking to Jeff Rich, NBA basketball. Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago attended the Bulls game on Thursday night, has some audio from that. Our professor of sports, John Poulter from Toronto, will run down some Major League Baseball teams and their prospects for 2017. Spring training is in full swing. Caught my first game last weekend at the Brewer Stadium in Merivale. While all the other stadiums, the crowds are packing in on a Sunday in a ghetto on the western side of Phoenix with a losing team from a small market, the crowd was about 3,000, maybe. So it left room for a lot of good seats, and it was a fun game. And I don't even know who won, because usually I take off after the sausage races. Now let's talk a bit about NFL football. I do know it's the offseason, but it looks like Adrian Peterson may be gone from the Vikings. He'll be an unrestricted free agent. I say the Packers go get him. You know, he's been a great player in the NFC North. They treat their players so well in Green Bay. The women are beautiful in that part of the country. You know, good looking, thin girls right there in Green Bay area. So, and so it could be a good signing. I mean, that's just a thought. Wouldn't it be kind of neat to see Adrian Peterson in Green Bay? But then there are some other things that are going on in the offseason that I've been thinking about lately and pontificating. You've got Nick Perry. He's the linebacker who's a free agent. I think the Packers need to re-sign him. Eddie Lacy, great running back, but injury prone. I'd like to see him re-signed. And it's tough on the offseason, that's for sure. Monday nights are an empty hole. Now just a gloomy reminder that the work week has a long way to go.
Oh, and, it's hopeless.
No football on Sundays. I'm glad there are these spring training games. That's a good fill-in anyway. So a lot coming up on the show. I hope you stick with us. We'll be talking Northwestern basketball later in the program also. They're doing well this year. Looks like they may make their way into the NCAA tournament. So stick with us here on the Sports Report.
The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us in 1988 on The Year in Sports. The San Francisco 49ers topped the NFC in 1988 with a 13-6 season, going on to beat the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl 20-16. In basketball, one of LA Lakers head coach Pat Riley's most famous moments came when he promised a repeat championship in the 1987 victory parade in downtown LA. The Lakers delivered, beating the Detroit Pistons 4-3. Then Scully and Joe Garagiola called the 1988 World Series. The LA Dodgers upset the heavily favored Oakland A's to win the series in 5 games, the exact opposite result of their 1974 meeting. 1988 was Wayne Gretzky's final season with the Edmonton Oilers. They took their 4th Stanley Cup in 5 years, sweeping the Boston Bruins 4-0. That season, the Oilers lost only 2 games, a record for the 16-wins playoff format. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1988 on The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com.
Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Homevestors, the We Buy Ugly Houses people, is America's number one real estate franchise. Since 1996, their franchise owners have purchased over 75,000 houses. Typically, you'd pay cash for ugly homes whose owners are in difficult situations, get them in selling condition, and make excellent profits. There's solid backing from Homevestors National Advertising, and franchises are $18,000 with some liquid capital needed for tools and startup. Let's talk about it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.
Hi, this is Dan Patrick. One quick message for you, Packer Dave. It's really, really brief and to the point. You're in fuego.
I am in fuego. It is the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave, now joined by Steve Leventhal from Chicago. We got a lot to talk about in this segment. NBA basketball with Jeff Rich. Later in this segment, Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune talking with Steve about Northwestern. And now we bring in from the Sports Byline USA Network. You can hear him 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific Time on Sundays at sportsbyline.com. He is Jeff Rich. Jeff, welcome to the Sports Report. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm glad that it's the month of March. That February month, I mean, we get through it, but it's really tough on the sports media. It is just a slow sports calendar, lots of regular season action, nothing really exciting going on. But March is a complete opposite of it. We've got spring training here, and we've got the Final Four coming to town real soon.
Exactly. Jeff is in Phoenix right now, just like I am. And I went to the Brewers Rockies. How about you over the last weekend?
I've caught a few games. I've seen the Giants and the Reds play a couple times. Actually got out to see the Cubs on their first day, which as an Indians fan isn't the most pleasing adventure. But it's still, you know, it's a really good atmosphere. It's good to see people coming out to the desert and having a lot of fun.
How do you like that ballpark of theirs?
The Sloan Park is really nice. I mean, I put Sloan Park, Camelback Ranch, and Salt River Fields all on the same plane, and that's a cut above every other park we've been to here in the Valley of the Sun.
Well, you know, Jeff, the Brewers had about 3,000 people at their stadium on Sunday when I was there. How about the Cubs?
I would guarantee that it was five figure. You know, Cubs fans are crazy. Cubs fans are crazy, yep, when they stonk. So that, you know, they've come out in droves. You know, they have the replica World Series trophy. On Sunday when they played the defending American League champions, my beloved Cleveland Indians, they brought out the real deal. And the reason being wasn't to rub it in the Indians' faces as much as it was Saturday when they opened play. They had a split squad. Javi Baez and a number of other Cubs players were up in Scottsdale playing the Giants while the Cubs were at their home park, Sloan Park in Mesa, hosting the Oakland Athletics.
And otherwise, Dave, they're going to get 15,000 for every game, regardless of who they're playing, even if they're playing the, you know, Scottsdale Community College.
And they're selling out on the – hey, go Artichokes. But, you know, they're selling out on the road, too. You know, games in Goodyear draw about 1,500 to 2,500 people. Stadium seats about 7,000. And they're at capacity for a few games against the Indians and Reds out there. So Cubs hysteria, I mean, we're just at the tip of the iceberg there. 2017 is going to be crazy. Let's see if they have that World Championship hangover like we saw with the New Orleans Saints and a number of other teams over the last 20 or 30 years.
Yeah. Now, Jeff, is that real? Steve, settle down.
I was going to say, the Panthers had the epic of Super Bowl hangovers. Wouldn't you say, Dave?
Oh, God. Raise your hand. You know how we do this here. Just raise your hand.
Like horseshack? Oh.
You got two options. One's blurting, interrupting, and the other's raising your hand. This has gone on for 20-plus years.
What am I, in grade school again?
Is that really the name of the Scottsdale Community College team, the Artichokes?
Yep. They are the artichokes, and they have the ugliest colors. And I believe that the story, I haven't confirmed this, but I believe the story is that the president of the school or the dean just absolutely hated athletics and made sure that they were shameful. And, you know, they've kind of embraced, I think they're purple and yellow, and they are most certainly the artichokes.
Oh, like they lost a bet or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, 3,000 at the Brewers and probably 12,000 or so at the Cubs, something like that.
I was really surprised. You know, I'll tell you what. I wasn't surprised to see when you look at some of these analytics. You know, we posted it on the Dorf on Sports Facebook page. You know, it's just facebook.com/Dorf on Sports. I posted the PECOTA standings, which is just a fancy word for an analytical forecast. And they actually had the Brewers right up there, Brewers, Cardinals, and Pirates, kind of 2-3-4 in the National League Central Division, you know, with the Cubs running away with it with 90-some wins. I thought that was an interesting projection to put the Brewers about a win above the Cardinals, which kind of bucks tradition if you've paid attention to National League Central baseball over the last couple of seasons.
Is that before June or after June?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that, because we know that the Brewers had a hot start. Was it 2014 or 2015 where they were in first place for like 105 days there, Packer Dave?
It was a long, and then we call it the September skid in Wisconsin. So happens all the time. I just think back to those glorious days of CC Sabathia, Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, making the playoffs, not a championship.
That summer of CC, that summer of CC Sabathia. He didn't even play a full season there, but I'm glad that you hold him in such high regard.
Okay, well, Steve, even though he's not really good on the radio, he's pretty good at going and getting audio at NBA games, which he did Thursday night, the Bulls playing Thursday night against Golden State. And let's hear from Coach Steve Kerr for Golden State and the situation with Kevin Durant right now.
Well, it's difficult, but that's the game. Everybody goes through it at some point. You know, it's so rare that you go through an entire season without any injuries. So you got to just deal with it. And the best way to do that is to cut your margin for error down a little bit. First of all, the margin for error is already cut down a bit, so you have to account for that. That's what I'm trying to say, which means the little stuff that you sometimes forget to do, it becomes more important. So you got to box out. We can't get beat backdoor. Can't get beat on a free throw offensive board. You know, we're letting guys get into the paint. We've had some slippage the last few games with some stuff that we've got to clean up, because with KD here, with KD not here, it's a little harder.
And here's Bulls forward Bobby Portis on stepping up for the team.
I just came out there and did my job. You know, I feel like my job now is to, you know, make open shots and, you know, play defense and, you know, be that glue guy out there on the court. You know, it was very fun tonight. Just getting in the game. You know, that's the biggest thing with me, is just being out there and, you know, having the opportunity to play. And I feel like I can play basketball at a high level, at this level, but, you know, I didn't have the opportunity at first. But, you know, now the opportunity is there, and, you know, I'm just taking advantage of it.
So how amped were you in the ball club on a big stage, 22,000 here, crowd going crazy against Golden State?
I'm always amped up every game. You know, I feel like I feel a lot of energy every day. I mean, almost every time I step out there. So, you know, just because, you know, it was the Warriors doesn't mean that, you know, I just stepped up and played big. You know, I feel like I go out there every day, you know, and play with a ton of energy.
All right, Jeff. So Kevin Durant right now, situation in Golden State, how does that impact the team? Of course, negatively, but your thoughts?
Yeah, well, they played pretty well without, you know, not having him on the roster the last couple of seasons. So, you know, I think that they can revert back. This is, you know, I've talked about this in the past. That, you know, you're okay if you don't have Kevin Durant on your team and you learn to play without Kevin Durant, but they've become accustomed to playing with him, so it's going to take a little bit of adjustment. We don't know how long he's out. You know, the only thing that's definite is that his injury is indefinite. And, you know, if he comes back for the beginning of the playoffs, maybe they get threatened a little bit in the opening round. And this is, you know, less about his, you know, his circumstance and more, you know, I'm looking and seeing if the Pelicans can sneak into the playoffs, because you're only going to need about 35, 36 wins to get into that eighth seed in the West. you know, I think that the Warriors will handle it fine until they run into San Antonio. I think that that's going to be a problem without Kevin Durant. And obviously, if he's out for the NBA Finals, I think that it definitely shifts the tide in the favor of my hometown Cleveland Cavaliers.
Along those lines, Steve Kerr got asked yesterday, well, you know, didn't you have this same team last year without Kevin Durant? And he goes, well, not exactly. We lost Andrew Bogut. And he says, but we do have Barnes. And, of course, that was a joking reference to the fact that they lost Harrison Barnes and they gained Matt Barnes.
They lost a superstar and they added a journeyman in Matt Barnes. I mean, you know, I definitely get the joke there. And, you know, hanging on to the one seed, that might be a little bit of a challenge. I think that that's probably the story that's in the immediate windshield right now. Is looking to see if they can hang on to that one seed because, you know, you get a 2-7 matchup with the Thunder who look pretty locked into that spot. I mean, you know, everybody's jockeying between about the fourth seed and the seventh seed there, and then somebody's going to sneak into that eighth seed with a losing record. So being the one versus the two come playoff time, I think it's going to be a big deal.
Okay, Steve, we do appreciate you going to the game, but if you're going to come on the air and comment on it, collect your thoughts and then say what's on your mind. And another good idea, clear that throat before you start talking. Get a glass of water, set it to the side, mute your mic, get the sputum out of the mouth, and then talk.
Boy, it's just brutal here. It's just brutal in these parts today, man. Hey, Levithal, let me ask you something. Since you've been around the Bulls, you know, they've swept the Cavaliers so far this season. You know, impressive win the other night against Golden State. You know, of course, you know, just learning to adjust to playing without Kevin Durant. Is this a team that thinks that they can make noise in the playoffs? I mean, they moved Taj Gibson, they moved Dougie McBuckets. Obviously, Bobby Portis was considered a value pick where they got him out of Arkansas a few years ago. You know, is this a team that could be poised to upset a few teams and maybe make a run in the Eastern Conference? If not, represent the Eastern Conference in the final. I know that sounds like crazy talk, but where are the Bulls at?
Well, sometimes you get the Jekyll and Hyde feeling. They'll go out there and they'll beat good teams like they did Golden State, they did Cleveland Cavaliers, and ironically, they're 18-0 on games on Thursday night on TNT. I mean, I know that's somewhat of a meaningless statistic. Oh, yeah.
Bravo. Oh, look at that. Where'd you pull that one out of, Steve? Congratulations. He got 100% better in less than 60 seconds on the show.
But then I set it up. I put it on the tee for him, man. That's all you need to do. You need to kind of coddle the Levithal, man.
300 yards, right up the middle.
Softball. Okay. What about the rest of the NBA, Jeff? But by the way, Steve, thanks for going to the game. Are you good? And you were at Northwestern too. You've been all over Chicago, right?
Been all over the map.
All right, Jeff. What about the rest of the league? What's striking you right now?
What's striking me right now is I think that the Celtics are getting better as they play. I think that Brad Stevens, you know, wasn't an overnight fix. I think that that's a team that really is looking at this year to try to kind of shock the world and knock off the Cavaliers and be that team that represents the Eastern Conference in the finals. They've got three guards. They could only play two, so this situation isn't tenable beyond this year. I think that that's a big deal, and the Bucks continuing to fail to make the playoffs. You know, I know that they've had injury issues, but this seems like a team that's underachieving a little bit. You know, it's like an organization that should be going places and they're just not. Over in the Western Conference, you know, I'm really impressed with the Utah Jazz. I don't think they're in the class with the Warriors and the Spurs, but looking around the rest of the playoffs, the Rockets, the Grizzlies, the Thunder, the Clippers, I think that the Utah Jazz are a team that could make some noise come April.
Okay, you know, Milwaukee, it just, you know, they had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the crowd the other night. They're still going back to that 71 championship season that even I don't remember. You know how old I am. You know, it's been a long time since they were any good. Every few years, they'll sneak into the playoffs and they'll get bounced in the first round. It's been that way for a couple decades now, and this is a team that really needs to taste some success. It hasn't happened in a long time. Yes, Steve.
Oh, I know. I know why you don't remember those things.
I wasn't drunk in '71, Steve. All right. I was only 9 in 1971.
Isn't that the drinking age in Wisconsin? 8 or 9?
It's about 12.
Yeah, hey, if you can put the beer on the counter, you can buy it.
All right, Jeff. And by the way, I was happy to assist you and Andy Dorf in determining where you're actually airing with that show, the Sports Byline, on the Sports Byline Network. Here's a tip.
Enid, Oklahoma.
To any of you, Fresno. No, they've got a few stations. They're on the Sports Byline stream. You know, they got a nice nice
Fayetteville,
show going.
Arkansas. Yeah.
Hey, we're really big in Idaho, and I heard we were big in Hoffman Estates, Illinois at one point or another, but I really can't confirm that.
Those days are over. But here's the thing about syndicated network radio. They all lie. People say, we are on 240 stations. You know what they do? If they ever aired one show on a station, they'll leave it on the list for the next 8 years if it was on for like 1 week.
Oh, don't I know it? You know, it's funny because we were supposed to plug the satellite stations that we're on. We gave very specific channels, and we had listeners that went out to their vehicles where most people have their satellite radio set up, and they would call in and they're like, hey, you're not on this station. And I was like, you know what? I'm talking. I don't really have time to verify that stuff and check. But it's good that our listeners tell us what we're not doing right.
Well, I can tell you. I mean, I scoured that whole thing because I had a business venture with our friend Danny Lipford from Today's Homeowner, and he aired on some of those stations with his tips for today. It's taken 1 minute, Steve. You're going to talk for 12 minutes about Northwestern basketball. Talk about who cares.
We're going to hear a lot about Northwestern next couple weeks until they're bounced out of Dayton on play-in Tuesday.
Sports Byline is on Sirius Channel 93, Sirius XM Channel 93, just not in your time slot. That's the only thing. They're on Sports Byline overnight.
What
overnight
the hell does that do for me, Packer Dave?
Well, you're on this show, so you garner yourself another dozen to two dozen listeners. So take solace in that.
Listener at a time, brother.
That's what you're getting here.
Yeah, that's what they got. Yep. Dave doesn't listen, your cum drops by about 30, 40%.
I bring my whole family around the radio. We listen. We around the computer. We listen. So, Jeff, thanks very much for coming on. Everybody, listen to Jeff on Sunday, 11 to 1 Eastern time. That's 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time at sportsbyline.com. That's sportsbyline.com. Jeff, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Now, from the Chicago Tribune, we're about to bring in Teddy Greenstein talking Northwestern basketball. But, Steve, you were at the game Wednesday night, and what was your take from that?
Oh, what an unbelievably emotional game. And I had one of the best seats in the house. Every once in a while, I like to take photographs. So I was literally under the basket where all this happened. So 1 second left, less than 2 seconds left, full court pass, ball comes down. And the guy caught the ball cleanly and made a layup before the clock expired. And what an emotional game.
All right. Well, you got a couple audio clips here, so set them up.
Well, first of all, Chris Collins, he jokingly said after the game he had one of those Jim Valvano moments where he didn't know what to do with all this crowd storming. The players are all hugging. And he just talked about what an emotional win this was.
When they were figuring out how much time was left, we knew it was going to be inside of 2 seconds. And a couple of the assistants said, why don't we just get it? Let's not risk a turnover. Let's just get it in and go to overtime and play 5 minutes. And my instinct said, no, we got to go for it. And once I said that, Coach James grabbed the clipboard. You know, he drew up a great play. Nathan Taphorn, don't the Bears need a QB? what a pass. And for Pardon to go up there in traffic, catch it, gather, go up and finish. And to do it at home in front of our fans and to be able to celebrate it and share it was just what a special night.
Next clip, he's going to talk about the upcoming game against Purdue, the last game of the season.
And now that you got to turn around and immediately turn your attention to Purdue, sure. How much more important is that game now and what you're looking
at? I mean, I think the big thing, guys, is we're playing better. We went through a couple week stretch, and obviously it's not an excuse, but the disruption of Scotty's illness really threw a wrench into our team. You know, it changed us, and then he's still coming back. It's taken him a couple weeks to get his legs back and start playing again. And if you look in our league, everybody, with the exception of Purdue, has kind of had a couple-week stretch where they've had a little bit of a lull where they've lost a couple or lost four out of five, or, you know, and then you got to fight out of it. And so for us, I feel like we went through that lull. You know, we lost those five out of seven, three of those without Scotty. So it really wasn't our full team. But, you know, I thought we played very well against Indiana. I really did. That's what was so disappointing. I thought we played well. We got back to being us in that game. And then tonight, I thought we played very well.
Now we bring in from the Chicago Tribune, Teddy Greenstein. Teddy, welcome to the Sports Report. How are you doing today?
Awesome. How are you guys?
Doing just fine. Steve's Ted, you guys can get into Northwestern basketball.
So just to kind of follow up, and the reason that I wanted to bring you on the show today was because, you know, Northwestern's been up and down. They've been in the tournament, and they were on the bubble. And now, on the basis of that huge emotional win on Wednesday night, it seems like they may have finally sealed the deal.
It does. That's what all the bracketologists are saying. So I think we're all following that cue. And what a way to get it done. That was something.
Yeah, so what was your take on that? You know, as you're watching this unfold, back and forth game, leads going either way, a lot of ties, lead changes, down 8 seconds, Michigan has the ball. You know, they missed a shot. Now Northwestern's got the ball with less than 2 seconds left. Take it from there.
Yeah, Nate Taphorn is their really designated inbound passer, and he had had a rough one earlier in the season at Notre Dame, against Notre Dame, kind of cost him the game, froze. So he's been trying to make amends. And he did big time. You know, he threw it the length of the floor. Perfect pass. Derek Pardon gets himself free on a screen, guarded by a shorter guy, Derek Walton. And it's right in his arms. And Pardon made a great play. I mean, it wasn't the easiest shot in the world. He had some people to contend with. He was kind of falling a little bit, but banked it softly off the glass, went through, and you know, it was a great moment there at Welch Ryan. Certainly the best moment in program history.
Yeah, it was so exciting. I mean, you think about it, it was almost that, you know, when they stormed the court, I guess it was a very spur-of-the-moment thing. I'm standing on the baseline because I'd been taking photographs during the game, and one of the ushers is trying to stop people. Like, we kind of looked at each other, and then I just said to him, I said, you might as well just get out of the way because this is a tidal wave. And he kind of laughed and chuckled, and he literally did step out of the way, and people continued to rush onto the court.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a moment that Northwestern has had very often. You know, I've seen a couple of those court stormings, one when I was a student there, but this was perfect. It was just such a, you know, release from all the stress that fans and more so players have been feeling.
Now, so step out of your reporter's hat for a second, and you did mention that you were there as a student. You know, how does that feel as an alum to see that this finally is going to come to fruition? They're going to break this long drought of ever being in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's not so much the as an alum. It's more so just having, you know, covered these guys, knowing Chris, knowing the players, knowing the stress that they're under, and then selfishly, just as a sports writer, like, you just don't want to cover the same thing year after year after year. I mean, I've been around Northwestern basketball now for so long, and you want something different to write about, you know? I mean, I've written about a lot of teams that were on the bubble or made the NIT, but this is different and more exciting, and the fact that now they can go into this Purdue game, you know, with their minds maybe a little bit clear, it's just going to make everything better. You know, Selection Sunday will come out, and we'll find out where we're going. I don't know. I could go to Greenville or Buffalo or who knows where. But, you know, so as exciting as it is as an alum, it's probably more so as somebody who covers a lot of the team knowing what's ahead.
So let's talk about the job that Chris Collins has done. I mean, and since you and I have both been covering this team for a long time, you remember very well Bill Carmody, where he was trying to make do with what he had. And now they made the decision. They brought in, you know, big-time assistant. They want to take this program to the next level. You know, how much has Collins been able to accomplish just in the four short years that he's been here?
Clearly a lot. Yeah, you know, he's done something now that no other coach could at Northwestern. And, you know, Bill Carmody took him from the absolute depths to, you know, respectability. And Bill was a great tactician, not much of a you know, he was not the most enthusiastic recruiter, ended up getting some good players, and Drew Crawford and John Scherna, guys like that. But Chris and his staff are really determined on the recruiting front, and that's why they got a guy like Vic Law, top 100 guy, could have chosen schools like Stanford or really high level places, Chris realized it has to start with recruiting, and now he's got good players. You know, even after this season, they'll lose Tap Horn and Sanjay Lumpkin, but that's a really good team coming back.
Well, and you've also had McIntosh has stepped up. Who else have you seen emerge as strong players this season?
The good sign in that Michigan game was really had a variety of guys chipping in. So Barrett Benson, the freshman center, was really good. He gave him some good moments there. Gavin Skelly played great. Tap Horn has had some great moments. So that's what you need, because still Scotty Lindsey is not the player he was before Mono. Vic Law had a brutal February, but played really well the other night. So it's got to be a variety of guys.
It's so interesting because after the game, as you saw it, Chris Collins, he got very emotional. He was almost on the verge of tears that this game meant so much to him. And he also commented about how he just felt like he needed to take the pressure off and stop trying to, seclude his team from this coverage and said, okay, guys, here's the story. What did you think about that approach?
Yeah, clearly it, the results speak for themselves. Yeah, I think he maybe had to try something new because they were feeling the pressure. So you may as well own up to it and say, hey, this is how life is and let's deal with it.
Okay, we got the game, the last game of the season, home game against Purdue on Sunday. What's your take on that?
Should be awesome. Should be great atmosphere. Obviously, CBS is going to be in there with their Final Four crew, Jim Nance, Grant Hill, Bill Raftery. So that's going to add to it, plus the fact that it's the last one before Welsh Ryan gets gutted. So it should be really intense.
Teddy Greenstein, Chicago Tribune, thank you very much for coming on the program today. And you have a great day yourself. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
We'll be back with baseball with our professor of sports from Toronto, John Poulter. When we return, I'm Packer Dave. He's Steve Leventhal. It is the Sports Report.
The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us now in 1984 on The Year in Sports. 72,920 fans showed up at Tampa Stadium on January 22nd to watch the LA Raiders beat the Washington Redskins 38-9. The Raiders' 38 points and their 29-point margin of victory were Super Bowl records until Super Bowl 20. In basketball, the NBA championship went to the Boston Celtics as they defeated the LA Lakers, winning Game 7 of the Finals 111-102. Larry Bird averaged 27 points and 14 rebounds per game during the series, making him the series MVP. Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola called the 1984 World Series, which saw the Detroit Tigers beat out the San Diego Padres 4-1. In hockey, the four-time defending Stanley Cup champs, the New York Islanders, lost their throne to the Edmonton Oilers 4-1 in the finals. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us on The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com.
Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Perfect Dreamer Sleep Shops can set you up with your own mattress distribution center, offering name brand mattresses at a fraction of the cost of traditional retail stores. They combine factory direct pricing with their exclusive no-cost furniture broker marketing system that allows you to substantially undercut retail store prices while generating amazing profits. Getting started with a Perfect Dreamer Sleep Shop is easy, with an initial investment under $5,000. They've been around for decades, have over 100 sleep shops across the country, and are rated A+. With the Better Business Bureau and other consumer review sites. Let us walk you through it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Hey, this is Tom Arnold. I was just talking to my buddy Charlie Sheen, and he tells me the Packer Dave has been with more fat chicks than I have. Thank you.
You say it like it's a bad thing. I'm Packer Dave, along with Steve Leventhal. It is the Sports Report. Steve, at the game Thursday night, that was a national game, so you saw your buddy Marv Albert there, right?
Oh, Dave, I would have so liked to have gotten the marvelous one from one of those liners that we do on the show here.
Yeah, he'd have been good for one of those promo liners for this show. Well, now we bring in our professor of sports.
Yes.
From Toronto. We do it every week. His name is John Poulter. We're going to look at a couple Major League Baseball teams and their prospects for 2017, now that we're into spring training. John, welcome to the show. We're going to start with the Kansas City Royals. So let's begin there.
Oh, thanks, guys. Always good to chat with you, and thanks for having me on the show. And we're continuing our trip through Arizona and Florida with spring training. So today we're going to start with the Kansas City Royals. And world champions in 2015, did not have a very good 2016 season. Lots of reasons, I guess. 81-81, finished third in the American League Central. Cleveland, of course, dominating that division. And the Royals have been all over the map the last 5 years. They've finished third in their division three times. They've finished second once, and they've finished first once. So clearly a team that's sort of bouncing around. And I've always felt that the Royals were one of the best teams in terms of tailoring their team and their on-field presence to their ballpark. A big ballpark with lots of space, a good pitching park. They've always built it with speed, pitching, and defense. So they've tailor-made their team to the ballpark. I think the biggest question with Kansas City this year is how much they're going to miss Yordanis Ventura, who had that tragic car accident at home in the Dominican Republic in the offseason. And clearly they'll miss his numbers. They will not be easy to replace. But I often wonder when somebody comes to a tragic end like that, if it lingers over the team, certainly with his friends that he's been with for a number of years, whether that's going to sort of linger over the team and leave them with a bad atmosphere in the clubhouse. You know, are they going to spend the whole season mourning? Are they going to just put it away? It's going to be interesting to see. It's something that they're going to have to work very hard at. And Kansas City has historically been a small market team. And we all know or knew that the aftermath of the success in 2014 and 15, which was back-to-back World Series, was going to hinder them, and in terms of triggering bigger contracts for a lot of their star players who were all young and in their prime. And frankly, that's contracts that they can't afford. And we started to see that already with trading Wade Davis, their closer, to the Cubs for outfielder Jorge Soler. There's gaps in their bullpen. I'm not sure how they're going to get from their starting rotation, which with the loss of Ventura is automatically going to be weaker than it was last year, to the closer. And I think there's lots of jobs open there in the springtime, lots of chances for young guys to come through and find a spot in that bullpen. The strength of the Royals, their age of their best players. Their best players, Salvador Perez is 26, Eric Hosmer is 27, Whit Merrifield is 28, Soler is 25, and Mike Moustakas is 29. So clearly, they're a team that still has a window in terms of winning. It's just going to be a question of putting together a pitching staff.
So, John, can I ask you a quick question about Soler and what they're going to get in Jorge Soler?
Well, he didn't play that much with the Cubs last year, as you know. He was sort of the fourth outfielder. He rotated. One of the advantages to go into the American League will be that they can use him as the DH. And, of course, they lost Kendrys Morales, who signed with the Blue Jays, so they had a hole to fill there. So I can see him fitting in primarily in right field, and I can see him being maybe the second or third DH behind Moss, who they signed over the winter as well to fill that role. So I think Soler is going to give them some depth in right field. He's certainly a good young player. He's got his best years ahead of him, and as far as Kansas City is concerned, he's controlled financially for a couple of years, and that has to help the small market team, as we discussed.
All right, John, let's move on to the Boston Red Sox.
Well, the Boston Red Sox, always a powerhouse, always a team to be reckoned with. They've kind of run the gamut themselves in the last few years. In the last 5 years, they've been fifth in the American League East three times, and twice they've been first. So, you know, talk about going from good to bad. You never really know what you're going to get in Boston. And I think perhaps for the Red Sox fans, the biggest news this week was the fact that David Price came up with a sore arm, an unusually lengthy period of time that he was sore after pitching, I believe, two innings in an intra-squad game or a simulated game. He's on his way to Indianapolis on Friday to speak with Dr. James Andrews and another surgeon about what this problem may be. Apparently, Andrews is at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, so obviously this is a key issue for the Red Sox. A lot of money on the table with Mr. Price. He's pitched a lot of innings. He led the American League in innings last year with 230. He threw 230 innings, 228 strikeouts. Clearly, there's been a lot of high-pressure pitches and stress pitches on that arm over the last few years because he's essentially a strikeout pitcher. That has to be a big concern for the Red Sox, and it certainly now makes the acquisition of Chris Sale from the White Sox a very prudent move on behalf of the Red Sox to kind of fill that spot. The Red Sox, their strength has been their farm system over the past few years. Their outfield is very young. It's very talented. Pedroia, of course, the veteran at second base, continues to hold that team together. Bogaerts at shortstop. Third base might be a little bit of a hole, but they're perhaps hoping that Sandoval will come back and show something there and for the money that they've invested in him. Hanley Ramirez is a quality hitter, whether he plays first base or DH. Same thing with Mitch Moreland. I can kind of see those two guys flipping in those spots. I would say the weakest spot for the Red Sox is probably their catcher. They've got three solid guys there, but none of them are really stars. They're all stable. That might be an issue, but I think perhaps if I was John Farrell, I'd be worried about two things. One would be the health of Mr. Price, and the second one would be how the bullpen shapes up to get from the starters to closer Craig Kimbrell. There's a lot of names there. There's a lot of guys that can throw half an inning here, a half an inning there. Whether they can piece that together and get there is going to be their big challenge. And, of course, the Red Sox are in that tough division with the Yankees and the Blue Jays. So maybe a tough season for the Boston Red Sox. Obviously, they're keeping their fingers crossed that Dr. Andrews comes out with a good report on Mr. Price later this week.
Taking a look at some of the teams in Major League Baseball right now with John Poulter out of Toronto. And now let's move on to the Mets, the New York Mets.
Well, the Mets would certainly like to kiss 2016 goodbye. Probably the busiest people in the New York Mets organization last year were the team doctors and team surgeons. The team was absolutely devastated by injuries last year. They got to the postseason. They finished second. And, you know, here's another team that's been all over the map in the last 5 years. They finished fourth, third, tied for second, won the division, and then last year was second at 87-75. They lost the wild card game to the Giants. I got to give Terry Collins, the manager, an awful lot of credit here. I think he did this with smoke and mirrors. When you look at the problems that they've had injury-wise, three out of their five starters last year were lost to injuries. Jacob deGrom, Matt Harvey, and Steven Matz, guys that they counted on, young arms, part of this big rotation we've been hearing about from the Mets for the last little while. They expected prospect Zach Wheeler to come back from Tommy John surgery last year. He did not. He's now 2 years past that surgery, and you have to kind of wonder if a guy's been out for two full years, if he's actually going to be able to come back. Pretty serious surgery, and 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it was not unusual to see a guy out 2 years with Tommy John surgery. Now they tend to be back within a year, and Matt Harvey would be probably the classic example of that in the Mets camp. And now I hear that Noah Syndergaard, who was one of their studs last year, has now got some bone spurs that may require surgery after this season. So that's not looking good for them, and they're the only other solid starter they had last year was Bartolo Colon, the ageless wonder. He's now an Atlanta Brave, so they've got some issues there with their pitching staff. And, you know, quite frankly, it's not just the pitching staff. Last year, Lucas Duda, the first baseman, had a stress fracture in his back. Catcher Travis d'Arnaud was hurt with a rotator cuff strain. Neil Walker, the second baseman that came over from Pittsburgh, had a bad back. David Wright went through spinal surgery. It just goes on and on and on. And, you know, clearly what's going to be an issue with the Mets is they've got to get continued power out of Cespedes in the outfield. He's got to continue to produce for them. He has the last year and a half that he's been there. There's no reason to see that he might show up. Jay Bruce in right field, if he's still with the Mets, he's a constant subject of trade rumors. He's going to put up some power numbers if he, in fact, does play. So the Mets are sort of a little bit of a wild card here, and I don't mean a wild card in terms of getting to the wild card game. I think they're a wild card in terms of how the team is going to look on the field, how it's going to perform on the field. Perhaps the one thing they do have going for them, or two things maybe they have going for them, is number one, they've got the ability to write a check because they're in New York. And the second thing is that other than the Washington Nationals, that National League East is pretty weak. So if they can hang in there for about 60 days until they can get these guys back or at least find out what they have in terms of a health report, perhaps they will be fine. But I don't see the Mets making the postseason this season at all.
Well, thanks for that update, John. Now let's move to the NHL. And tell me, who is the hottest team right now in the National Hockey League?
Well, if you're talking win streaks, it's the Calgary Flames at 5 in a row. If you're talking record in the last 10 games, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning at 7-1-2. If you're talking about the last couple of games, I'm going to suggest it's the Chicago Blackhawks, specifically number 88, Mr. Kane, on right wing. I watched that Pittsburgh-Chicago game the other night, and I wish that they played more often than twice a season, because that was just an outstanding hockey game. It was well played. It was well refereed. There was great goaltending, and it was kind of interesting to see that both teams played the guy that is deemed to be their second goaltender in that game, and that was a key game. So I was a little bit puzzled as to why that happened, but neither coach could be questioned on it when you look at the final scoreline. 4-1 was perhaps a little bit flattering for the Blackhawks, because two of those goals came in the last couple of minutes, the last one into an empty net. So in effect, it was really a 2-1 game. Might be one of the best hockey games I've seen this season.
And John, quickly before we go, there is a big game in the Prem this weekend. Arsenal's going up to Anfield to play Liverpool. Your thoughts quickly?
A couple of teams that have been showing promise all season, specifically Liverpool, but boy, they've both been struggling a little bit lately. I guess to use the term must win, clearly there's points at stake here. Somebody's got to take the points away, but I don't think that the team that loses that game is going to be very happy at all. It's got to be a good game. Arsenal-Liverpool is always a fantastic game, whether it's in London or in Liverpool. But both teams have got a lot to catch up on here. So I'm looking forward to that being an exciting game.
John Poulter, our professor of sports from Toronto, Ontario. John, we will do it again next week. You have yourself a great remainder of this week and a fine weekend. All right?
Likewise, guys. My pleasure as always, and we'll chat next week.
All right. And we want to thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Sports Report. Remember, you can get us at internetfm.com or kwwradio.com. Each week, shows are posted after 3 p.m. Central Time. You can always hear us on Mile High Radio each week also. That's on Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. You can get us at milehighradio.com. And, of course, on our websites. So, for Steve Leventhal from Chicago, for our professor of sports, John Poulter from Toronto, for Jeff Rich from Phoenix, Arizona, Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune, I'm Packer Dave saying thanks a lot for listening. Take care. We'll see you next week. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Get some beer, scumbag.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. To club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.
The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us in 1995 on The Year in Sports. A good year for the Cowboys in 95. Once again, the NFC champions with a 15-4 record. In Super Bowl 30, following the season, the MVP award went to the Cowboys' Larry Brown. It was Dallas over the Steelers in the end, 27-17. The Houston Rockets found their way back into NBA championship play, this time taking on the Orlando Magic. This matchup put two centers on center stage, Shaquille O'Neal of the Magic and Hakeem Olajuwon of the Rockets. In the end, it was the Rockets winning out in overtime. The 1995 World Series matched the Atlanta Braves against the Cleveland Indians. The Braves won in six games, capturing their third world championship in franchise history. In Stanley Cup play in 1995, the New Jersey Devils swept the Detroit Red Wings in a four-game sweep to take the title. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1995 on The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731. 800-718-1731.
Be your own boss. Listen to this from Home Improvement USA. Homevestors, the We Buy Ugly Houses people, is America's number one real estate franchise. Since 1996, their franchised owners have purchased over 75,000 houses. Typically, you'd pay cash for ugly homes whose owners are in difficult situations. Get them in selling condition and make excellent profits. There's solid backing from Homevestors National Advertising, and franchises are $18,000 with some liquid capital needed for tools and startup. Let's talk about it.
Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. That's 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com. Be your own boss. Contact Home Improvement USA at 888-437-4223 or kwwradio.com.
Have you ever been turned down, rejected, or downright denied because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. We here at National Credit Advisor can help you qualify for that new car you've been dreaming about or that new home you know you deserve. Never again be rejected because of bad credit. Just call us here at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they could finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. We help rebuild your credit score so you can qualify for the home, car, or credit card you deserve. No matter how bad your credit is, just call 1-800-605-3081 today to see how much we can help your credit score. No one is turned away. Call now, 1-800-605-3081. That's 1-800-605-3081. Again, 1-800-605-3081. 605-3081.